The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. The only this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! Right on the Tigers! Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down the arse!
Oh, gee whiz. He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And I've had more fun watching football, Andy.
Yeah, I think watching Soldo get flogged like that in both...
No, sorry, that's it. That's an infringement on your take. No, I'm not having that.
Yeah, it very much the umpires...
No, I'm not taking that. That's 50. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, you know, you are a semi-professional AFL umpire, Nick. So if anyone can over officiate a game and make it all about you, because the crowd aren't there to intimidate you, you could, Nick. Just like the professional AFL umpires do. But yeah, I must admit there was a moment where
can I talk to you about, you know, so you have this was the competition I was umpiring in. So you'd have a weekly brief of specific game incidences or rule interpretations. And God, I do wonder if they've had a briefing. You know, the AFL's worried about scoring, which, you know, perfectly understandable. Scoring equals dollars, but. Wonder if there was a brief about, you know, we've got to clean it up in the forward line. Those pesky defenders have been getting away with, you know, these holds for too long. We've got to crack down. And as is the Richmond way, first game of the round, you know, we bear the brunt of it.
Yeah, we do. The Loston free kick, for instance, was no better. The first goal of the game was on replay was no less infuriating, or through sort of slightly less infuriating when you knew the game was not close. But yeah, it was not a free kick. But yeah, the game as a whole, watching my man Soldo get beaten in the hit outs and quite badly in the disposals. Segler was the fourth highest rated player on the ground, and Soldo was the second last by one measure.
And, Nick, and the eye test, the eye test certainly backed up what a bad day he had.
I'm not sure.
Jack Higgins.
Yeah, I'm not sure the stats line reflected that moment. Yeah, that Jack Higgins moment, like that was, you know, in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, where the bad guy, he rips the hearts out of people's chests and shows it to them while they're still beating. That's how I felt at the moment where Soldo spoiled Higgins.
Yeah, I think I think there was another one in the last quarter where he's, you know, crudely got involved in the contest and... Yeah, and his marking was off. Yeah, it was a tough day on Soldo Island.
Yeah, it's safe to say that a lot of people were checking out on Friday morning. Not me, but you know, it was. Sorry to make this all about the Ruckman. I know it's unusual about me, but it was sort of like there's always been a slow upward progression, and you know, he didn't have all great games in his. Before his 20th game, but he was a kid who never played junior footy, and you could always excuse a lot, and the graph was always going upwards, and this is the first time a bit of cold dose of reality. So yeah, it was a tough game, but lots of other things happened too.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't like to complain about umpires too much, because, you know, they're they're human, highly paid professional humans, but human nonetheless. But yeah, it was six goals from free kicks is pretty off the charts. And it's sort of Champion Data have their expected score from the game, which, takes into account inside 50s, marks inside 50, shots at goal. We won the expected score of this game by 9 points. It certainly didn't feel that way watching it. But conceding six goals to free kicks is pretty extraordinary as well.
Yeah, that doesn't affect the expected shots, though, because that sort of includes that, because expected shots. So if you get a soft free kick, it just records that as
it just counts as a shot at goal.
Likely shot at goal. So there's two. Basically, it's a game. It's very much how you look at the game is. And Richmond's played a lot of games like this and been on the other end of the last 3 years. So the first quarter was another disaster. We failed to score a game. And the inside 50s, they doubled our inside 50s. 6 to 13. And what was really depressing is they significantly out-pressured us. By the way, I apologise, there's a bit of background noise. There's a construction site near my house. Even worse than usual. They out-pressured us. They out-inside 50 us. The disposals was an absolute disaster. They had 50% more disposals. First quarter was a disaster. And then second quarter again, they beat us in the inside 50s and in the pressure, but again the indicators weren't quite as uneven. But then the last quarter we dominated them, but then the last quarter was not actually close. So it depends. It depends how you look at it. Was the last quarter junk time? If the last quarter was junk time and they were just like sitting back allowing us to dominate the game, then the whole game was an unmitigated disaster. If you think the last quarter was still live football, then the game was more even than the scoreline because we shot poorly for goal and they shot very well. So it's two sides of the coin.
And they shot well despite not getting a lot of contested marks near goal, which is something we don't give up a lot of normally. So, yeah, look, I think the last quarter was a little bit of junk time element to it. But, if we convert a couple of shots, the Tom Lynch one being the obvious one, the game's closer.
Just on that point, the last quarter, the inside 50s were 17 to 2. It really was. Like, the last quarter was an absolute flogging, which, as you say, within score. But anyway, sorry, I interrupted you.
It reinforced my prejudice against the shorter quarters. But I was encouraged that, proportionately, I think we've got a few players off form. But if you look at the stats, the player who's ball winning has dropped off the most is George, followed by Sheds. And I just think, and then Rioli and Jack got into the game as well in the last quarter after hardly being sighted. And there's nothing scientific about this, but I think footballers feel better getting, winning the ball, and getting a bit of confidence. I'm an optimist by nature, but I thought that the last quarter might do them some good.
Now, can you say that again, Nick, that the player who's is the most down in positions was George?
Yeah.
I've actually been going through the same numbers, and I see what you mean, and then George kicked that brilliant goal. So, that is a bit of confidence. It's sort of... All right, it's scapegoat time about who's, obviously 1-1-1 is it's not a disaster. We're exactly 500,
it is a weird season. A fortnight ago, we were confidently talking about the big four of premiership contenders, and in the 2 weeks since, those teams have won exactly one game. So yeah, it's. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
And as we pointed out before the game, the Hawthorne, very old team, very experienced, won a lot of big games last year. As it sort of turns out, you know, despite maybe our arrogance towards them, Richmond Sport is not Richmond Club, but the collective confidence towards them, they are a very good club. And
probably, well, that confidence is because, as you know, 2016 aside, and I think we can all agree to put that whole year aside. We've had a really good record against them, but yeah, they're a genuinely good team. Part of my cautious optimism about the season is, our attack hasn't looked good the last 2 weeks, but Hawks and Pies were the second and third rated defences from last year, and the first was, Geelong, which has a massive asterisk from playing their games in a feeding trough. So yeah, I think nothing makes a team look better than playing against worst opposition.
Yeah, absolutely. Look. We're scoring very lowly, and as you say, there might be an opposition effect. We'll wait and see. There is an effect that's happened in 2020 that's a worry that reminds me a bit of 2016, but I think it's far too early to make those calls, and I know this highly inflammatory talk inside, so. But it is important for Dimmer to prove that he can build a effective attacking game plan in 2020 with the current coaching staff. It's three games in. It's too early to say.
Your Blake Carousel fetish.
Yeah, I'm not going to. No, I deliberately didn't mention his name, and I'll save that off for three or four more weeks.
He's the only change to the coaching staff.
Yeah, I know, but he was the most important in 2017. What he was responsible for is the thing that changed the most and went the best. It's a hell of a lot easier to get turnovers across half back if the other teams are really afraid of your attacking movement as well. It's very hard to do it if they've completely got you bottled up on the attacking movement. But it's really early. I don't want to overdo this. So we'll wait and see. But can we talk? But can we individualize briefly, Nick? Let's start positive. Jaden Short, quite a good game.
Yeah. Jaden Short. I think most of the defenders are in pretty good. Hawley continues in great form. Grimes is Grimes. Asprey is Asprey. Flossy, extremely solid. Sydney stacks a bit off, which causes me pain. Although even there, I was encouraged that he kept taking the game on, even after he had a howler or two.
Yeah,
I think this is finding, AFL footy is tough, and last year he had a bit of a dream run before the injury in. This is a challenge for him to work through.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a bit of a turnstile defensively, as you point out, and sort of. So the sort of the, again, it's a two sides of the coin conversation, because he still is playing with some confidence, and that's valuable. But yeah, teams are targeting him now, and he's certainly not. The coaching staff have shown a lot of faith in him. They kept playing him in the ones, even though he hasn't been in great shape. You hear about the training reports, and in his first year, he rewarded them amazingly for their confidence. In the second year, let's just say net contribution is coming back towards the average. It's frustrating. I think he needs to be dropped, but I actually don't think he's he wouldn't have been. If I had to pick two to drop, he wouldn't be in my number one. And just on Hulley, the AFL played, it's probably been everywhere as well, a montage of Richmond players who pulled out of context. One of them was Hulley backing back into a contest, and I think it was quite likely that Lynch was coming the other way, and Lynch got to the ball. He was behind punching, but I think it's quite likely that Lynch actually called it, because there's no crowd noise now. You can call better for things like that, and I think it's quite likely that Lynch said that it was his ball. So, you know, I think there's enough ambiguity there to at least give someone the benefit of the doubt.
I'd be fascinated how often both Lynch and Jack call for the same football.
Oh yeah, like occasionally I do it. Much better player, a couple of much better players than me. It's a, you know, it's a way to intimidate the opposition, to let them know you're coming through and hope that they might duck their head. Speaking of ducking their heads, far less forgiving of Pickett's. Pickett was in the same montage twice, and one time he failed to body line it the ball, and another time he ducked his head while taking a mark, and at least he still got his hands to it, but. He's not moving the ball well. His possession numbers are low. He's getting 10 touches a game, and he's not using it well when he gets it.
He still shows up on the highlight reel. It's not like he's got
what's a bad place? Anyway, sorry.
All three games, he's got a couple of pretty dynamic inside 50s. He's not playing a ton of game time again, which you know, we've talked about the sort of, there's almost a redundant midfield, but he does make things happen forward of centre, and yeah, the him not playing as well, mentioned Sheds, Lambert's well down on his ball winning, Graham's well done on his ball winning. Like, all the... Prestia is slightly off, but I think he's fine. And Cutchin's playing well, and Dusty, when fit, is playing well. I feel like the secondary midfielders are a bit off their game.
Yeah, I mean, Graham especially, like, not only is he down possession wise, but his pressure numbers are, you know, they're right down. He wasn't even in the top half of the players. Now, a bit of positional switch going on, but I just don't. Graham's not as good at the other facets of the game, ball winning. And, you know, speaking of sort of people, he had six possessions at three quarter time, and then he came home with a wet sail, so he's not getting pressure acts. You know, he's never been good with attacking position. We all love him for his act against Geelong, but he's really struggling to me. Him and Pickett, and maybe there's a bit of rotation, as you say, there's not enough time for them. But he got 70, actually, no, that's not true. He got 76% time on ground, so that's enough to make an impact. I don't think they're giving enough. And, you know, it's time. The grand final team was a special bit of magic, but, the way professional sports work is often that magic only comes once, and you've got to try new combinations, and I think it's time.
What about Jack Ross?
I thought he was okay, like, first game in.
Had his moments.
Yeah.
Didn't overwhelm, sadly.
No, he didn't overwhelm, and like in fairness, and to balance out what I said, was rated just marginally below Graham. So there's no statistical case why Ross is, should stay rather than Graham, but Graham's now had three games of this, while Ross has had the one. So Nick, the big debate is, and he's the one getting all the attention, is Jack. What are your thoughts?
So we've seen Jack get the goal-kicking yips before, and he's really shortened up his motion. Like, it's almost like a little chip shot motion these days. So when he gets under it and sprays it slightly, yeah, it looks bad. But I also think, well, he looked, he's had good opponents the last 2 weeks. You know, he was very good in round one against Carlton. He was very good in the grand final. You always worry about a drop-off in form for a 31-year-old. But, yeah, I think Jack attracts the rush to judgment a bit more than others because of his high profile. But, his marks inside 50 and contested marks are both up this season. I'd be a bit reluctant to call it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's the act of frustration that doesn't look good. Team that's been very static inside the forward line, like
which has always been present. Him not being the alpha full forward as well. Right? You know, when the ball goes over the there's you know broken play and the ball goes over the back. It's, you know, it's pretty much always Lynch. Who's the one? Sitting at the back, which is totally appropriate. Yeah, Jack's in a harder role.
Yeah, and like you can see why the doubters are there, but look, you know, last year he was you know, if you look at his 2019, he averaged 1.9 goals a game, which is you know, well below his average any time in basically the rest of the decade. So, you know, already the sort of being the complementary forward had already significantly reduced his output, unless you sort of believe that he hit a very steep drop off from. So in 18 he averaged 3 goals a game, and then in 19 he averaged 2 goals a game. So basically there was a steep drop off, and that seems like a very big drop off just because of aging. It does seem like there was a Tom Lynch effect. So you know, his drop off's not huge relative to 2019.
No, and he's got a lot of pride in his performance. Yeah, I'd have reasonable confidence.
I mean, part of the thing is, like, in fairness, he brought this on himself because he talked about his motivation issues leading into the season. So, after the break. So, part of it's self-inflicted media hype. But yeah, okay, it's too early to tell.
Well, look, the whole team does feel a bit off. You know, I think playing against a not as good opponent in not at night, you know, maybe the ball movement gets a bit slicker. But yeah, then there's definitely the continuity isn't there yet. And you know, well, Dimmer has said about wanting to build into the season, but I'm certain he didn't quite mean as badly as this. But yeah, you know, it's a big game this week.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if we win, we get back over 500, and we'll be sort of firmly ensconced in the top eight. So you know, not quite panic stations yet. We should mention before we you're naturally transitioning to St Kilda, we should just mention the VFL, which played another frustrating practice match where we don't get to we don't get any sort of external validation of what happened or statistics, but you know, match report, which we're still grateful for, but it's not quite the same to rely on try and read the tea leaves of what coaches are saying than it is to actually have external validation.
No, it is. I realised that one of the things I remember about the quite early days of the internet was hearing reports from people who'd been to training or VFL games. I think I've been doing that for 20 years. And I really missed that.
Yeah, but like one thing is, like, you know, you'll notice if you read 4 or 5 reports, and good people who are smart, who are insightful and literate, is they see really different things. when you don't have things like a stat sheet to go off, or replay, is, you know, it's a myth to think you see the same, the whole ground. You don't. And, you know, it's why coaches, well, they probably would anyway, but, you know, a lot of what they say after the ground is, game is often a bit bland and cliche because they don't actually fully know what happened because no human being could. It's just not the same. But anyway.
So, yeah, so we don't have as much information as usual. Although bless Caesar from Punt Road End who found a way to watch the game. But there was a lot of love for Thompson Dow and his game. I almost wondered if it was, is he a chance to make his debut this week?
What do you mean, almost wondered? Like, surely
he seems to be clearly our best.
Surely it's a better than 50% chance.
Well,
I mean, you've got a whole bunch of eminently droppable players in the first. You've got a player who's played well now. He's played well in preseason. Like, you only need to play him 50 to 60% of the time in the game time. It's a perfect way to bring on a young kid. He'll give you a flash. He'll give you a spark off the bench at a team that doesn't have attacking spark. Like, seems a great case to me.
That's the positive case. The negative case is that St Kilda, if nothing else in their midfield, bat really deep with physical, big-bodied midfielders, and he's at the other end of this. You know, he cracks in, but you know, he's light and skinny. Like it's a tough debut. Debuts are always difficult, but yeah, the St Kilda lineup gave me a little pause in it in that regard. But look, it's really exciting. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the squad. A debut, I think I would be a bit surprised by.
Really? Okay. All right. We can make it a friendly no stakes bet about whether he debuts. And partly this is me. I want him to debut. Give us something. It's always fun to have a flash of a new exciting player. On the other hand, the euphemism around RCD Sparky was interesting. I think what was the phrase?
Yeah, I think
glimpses of what could be a good player.
Caesar was very fond of his game. You know, I don't know. It's so hard to tell. Like playing 14-on-14, and you know, English, RCD and Dow played midfield a lot of the day. So everything about it is a bit weird. I mean, Patrick Nash looked great because he's a fantastic player in space and has good skills. Marby Chol kicked some goals up forward. I don't know. Nank was Nank.
The phrase I was after, phrase I was after was he showed glimpses of playing a good game of footy. And then he repeated the phrase with Patrick Nash. He showed glimpses of him playing to his strengths. It's quite an interesting phrase, isn't it? Camden made his comeback, which was good.
Always good to have him running around.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are calling for him to be come back in the first. I think it might be a week too early. But you know, still exciting. Did you realize Martin's injury was so serious? This is sort of the frustrating thing, is without VFL stats that you don't sort of know.
No.
So just for those, he was in the injury report. And
Will Martin.
Will Martin. Yeah, he's recovering from quite a serious injury.
Not Dustin.
Yes. Oh, yes. So Dusty's supposedly back this week, according to the club. Cross fingers. Will Martin's got. Yes, that is an important qualification. Will Martin's got quite a serious injury he's rehabbing from.
There are a lot of quite young players. In a normal VFL season, I think we'd be a lot more up and down than usual because of that. But look, if complaining about the standard of reserves games is all you have to worry about. You're not doing too badly.
True. Well, we both of us have actually a lot more to worry about than that, but it's just an addition to the things that are affecting our AFL watching, along with the quality of statistics on the AFL website. And Nick, at this point when we're talking rehabbing, he hasn't talked about it on Twitter, so I won't name names, but thoughts go out to friend of the podcast and friend of the Richmond Army more broadly. You know who you are, and recovering at home from what is a minor knock, but I think he'll be cherry ripe in a couple of weeks' time. Once again, adding his very high quality content to the Richmond universe.
Yep.
St Kilda.
So I watched St Kilda on the weekend.
Yes, so did I. I watched it in a pub, drinking beer from a tap. It was quite fun. Not literally straight from the tap, but you know what I mean.
A bit depraved.
I haven't gone full bone, no.
Yeah, so did it. So did I. They've got better, but they're still... I can see both the reasons for optimism and the reasons to be pessimistic about St Kilda. Like, they've had... Yeah, they've had one good win, one bad loss, one very close loss to North Melbourne. You know, the glass half full. Yeah, they've clearly recruited well. Brad Hill's a far more dynamic midfielder than anyone they had before. Dougal Howard's come in as a key defender, playing very solidly. But, you know...
And Butts.
Bearing the lead. Dan Butler looks great.
He does. Look, the advancement, look, high forward, playing small forward is a really hard role. It's very high variance. Look at Daniel Rioli's career. And Dan Butler played a few bad senior games for Richmond, including a couple where he didn't look good in the contest. And, it was very hard for him to get back into the ones because we're so stacked there. And he probably Bolton probably took ended his Richmond career. And you can hardly critique that because Bolton, some absolutely huge plays in the finals.
Which is completely fine. Yeah.
So Dan Butler is good at football.
Yeah. Number one in the AFL for, forward 50 tackles, on the season.
Yeah.
He's cut his hair. He's lost weight. He looks really good.
Yeah, grown a beard, he would be playing for Richmond this week. But you know that's you can't keep everyone in football. That's the way it works.
No, and it is the new. There's something clearly wrong at Adelaide. That even when they're a successful team, they had good players walking out the door, and we've been lucky. Richmond's had a pretty good culture for a long time, and we've had very few players leave. I think the only one who left with real bitterness was, for supporters anyway, was Brad Ottens. But yeah, this new era of unprecedented success. Yeah, suddenly we've got senior quality guys who aren't getting a game. And, careers are short. Don't blame them at all for going elsewhere. But yeah, it does see cause a slight pang when you see them playing well, and yeah, he's playing well.
And Paddy Ryder is not completely washed up, which was not something that I expected.
No, but there's definitely some redundancy there, because Rowan Marshall's genuinely good, and so you're having to, if you've got them both on the ground, one of them's playing as a key forward, and now, at different stages, they had, Ryder or Marshall, Max King, Membray, Jonathan Marsh, who you may remember from his four-week stint as a Richmond supplementary list player at the start of last season.
Oh, how could I forget?
They had sort of almost four key position-sized forwards at different stages in their forward line. Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, so I think this game, we're currently 14.5 point favourites. So I think that you know, that, I think that swings a lot on Dusty. Mm. I reckon that's
solid favourites.
Yeah, I think that's the middle point though. If Dusty plays, you know, I think 3 points goes to that line. If Dusty doesn't play, I think probably 4 points go off it. Don't you think?
Hmm. Yeah, our record at Docklands is pretty good. It's not great, but you know, we're since 2016, we've won 7 out of 11 games there, which, you know, it's not as good as the MCG, but it's still pretty good. And St Kilda, we've had the wood over, except for that still inexplicable loss in 2017. But yeah, I still don't like playing there, I have to say.
Nah, look, it's a game we should be really worried about. You know, the game last year was the Sydney Stack Explosion, but as you pointed out, the sort of with the Seb Ross and Jay Gresham, you know, they've got a very solid midfield and big bodied.
Zach Jones, another big body, cracks in hard. I would say that the phrase two times best and fairest winner Seb Ross is one of the saddest sentences in AFL football. Andy?
Oh yeah, so he's their best ranked midfielder. According to the advanced statistics, at 40th, and he's their best player. Whereas we have, so he's their best player at 40, and you know we have three players in the top 20, including Shedder, Martin, and Prestia. So just to put a bit of a context of, yeah, your best player is the 40th ranked player in a competition which has 18 teams.
Billings, I think's a big when it, he's a real sort of swing player for them. Like when he's doing his homeless man, his Dustin Martin impression and playing well. St Kilda are a much better team. I quite like Hunter Clark actually. I think he's coming on a bit. But yeah, they still have guys like Nick Hind, mentioned Jonathan Marsh, Ben Long, Callum Wilkie.
And unlike
a bit of a rump to this team.
Yeah, and unlike the Hawks, they're still genuinely young. Like they've got 11 players under the age of under 50 games. Well, they did last week, and still the average age is still in their 24. So they're not a team. Every week thus far, we basically count to an extent. But the last 2 weeks, we've played teams that are old, experienced, in very much built to win this year and damn the future. But this team is still a team that is still in many ways rebuilding, despite some of their inexplicable free agency signings. But you know, which we've already mentioned one. But Hanbury may be the worst free agent signing I've ever seen, as far as a long term strategy perspective. So look, enough about St Kilda.
I'm glad Max King isn't Ben King. I think he's about a year behind, fingers crossed.
Yeah, true. But very exciting player. Very exciting family. So look, enough about St Kilda. This is a huge game, cause in a 17 game season. You know, we handled them last year in the equivalent fixture, and we've just got to do it again if we want to be top four.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
Where Richmond Tiger Talk.
The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! Right on the siren! Oh, what a ticket! Whoa, what about that?
shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Higginbottom takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. Sweet it is, eh?
Pickett lines up.
There are alarm bells going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy.
Started with him.
Yep. Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. There's the play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. Champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals, you can make the case for him being best on ground.
We never weep until the pile of sirens gone. Like the tiger of old, the strong and ribald, for we're from Tiger.
I think they were a better team last year than they are now.